In Deuteronomy chapter 2. Then we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and circled Mount Seir for many days. The Lord spoke to me, saying, You have circled this mountain long enough, now turn north, and command the people, saying, You will pass through the territory of your brothers, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you, so be very careful. Do not provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land, even as little as a footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with the money so that you may eat, and you shall also purchase water from them with money so that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing. So we passed beyond our brothers, the sons of Esau, who lived in Seir, away from the Arabah, road away from Eloth and from Ezion-Geber, and we turned and passed through by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord spoke to me, Do not harass Moab, nor provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot as a possession. The Emim lived there formerly, a people as great, numerous, and as tall as the Anakim. Like the Anakim, they were also regarded as Rephaim, but the Moabites called them Emim. The Horites formerly lived in Seir, but the sons of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and settled in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. Now arise and cross over the brook Zered yourselves. So we crossed over the brook Zered. Now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. Moreover, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from within the camp until they all perished. So it came about when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people that the Lord spoke to me, saying, You shall cross over Ar, the border of Moab, today. And when you come opposite the sons of Ammon, do not harass them nor provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land of the sons of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot as a possession. It is also regarded as the land of the Rephaim, for Rephaim formerly lived in it, but the Ammonites called them Zamzumim. A people as great, numerous, and tall as the Anakim, but the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place, just as he did for the sons of Esau, who lived in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place, even to this day. And the Avim, who lived in villages as far as Gaza, the Kaphtorim, who came from Kaphtor, destroyed them and lived in their place. Arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Arnon. Look, I have given Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples everywhere under the heavens, who, when they hear the report of you, shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. So I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through your land. I will travel only on the highway. I will not turn aside to the right or to the left. You will sell me food for money so that I may eat, and give me water for money so that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot. Just as the sons of Esau had lived in Seir, and the Moabites who lived in Ar did for me, until I crossed over the Jordan into the land which the Lord our God is giving to us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, was not willing for us to pass through his land. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate in order to deliver him into your hand as he is today. And the Lord said to me, See, I have begun to deliver Sihon and his land over to you. Begin to occupy that you may possess his land. Then Sihon with all his people came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us, and we defeated him with his sons and all his people. So we captured all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men, women, and children of every city. We left no survivor. We took only the animals as our booty and the spoil of the cities which we had captured. From Aor, which is in the edge of the valley of Arnon, and from the city which is in the valley even to Gilead, there was no city that was too high for us. The Lord our God delivered all over to us. Only you did not go near to the land of the sons of Ammon, all along the river Jabbok, and the cities of the hill country, and wherever the Lord our God had commanded us. Amen. Let me take a couple steps back. The whole book of Deuteronomy is probably The best way that we can interpret the book and understand exactly what's going on here is you have to understand God's covenant framework. And this book is really what we consider a renewal of the original covenant that was laid out. There have been a couple times we have the original covenant of Abraham. We have the covenant Moses, when they were leaving Egypt. Then we have the renewal of this covenant. And the reason why this was important was because, remember, this was a second generation. So the chapter 2 tells us that the sons of war, that was the whole generation that sided with the other 10 spies. And so they needed to be basically extinct in the wilderness. And so now a whole other generation rises up. So it's important for them to renew covenant with the Lord. And then after that, Joshua does it again in Shechem, in Joshua 24. And then Ezra will also, in the book of Ezra, renew covenant. So there's not so many times, but it happens through parts of history, especially when they're going into a huge transition. Another way we can say it is possibly going to the next level in some way. And so, in particular, the seal of covenant is, I don't know if I want to use the word seal, but a byproduct of the covenant or a result of that covenant would be successive leadership. And what I mean by that is God's reign is symbolically represented in the earthly leadership that's laid out. And so when the people of Israel, when they take Joshua as their leader, right, Moses is going to die. And so when Joshua becomes their leader, that is also akin to making covenant with God, which really gives us a very clear idea of leadership, especially in a church context. When you're following your earthly leaders, in essence, you're also following God, because God symbolically is represented in the earthly structure of leadership. And so in this case, when they confirm Israel's commitment to obey Joshua as a successor of Moses, that's basically saying, Lord, we are still with you. Because it's God the one, he's the one that's laying out the succession from Moses to Joshua. You guys kind of get that? And so that gives us, this is an overview, but it gives us a pretty good idea of the way that we should look at leadership in this regard. Okay? So chapter 2, so again, they're recounting what's going on. So they're recounting the way of the wilderness that's going on here. And so, we went through here, we circled this mountain, and then finally the Lord said, okay, now turn north. So they begin to turn north. They went to certain territories, and these territories, they were forbidden to settle in. They were just meant to just simply pass through because God had already given that land to other people. One is the Edomites. He had given these to the sons of Esau. Esau is the father of the Edomites. And so so he's already given to them as a possession. And then we see he's given some of the land to Lot. He's given some to this and that. And then you'll notice that when these little passages, and they're saying, oh, he gave them to Lot, blah, blah, blah. And he says, oh, the Eman lived there formerly. They were the Raphaim, so on and so forth. In other words, there are these huge giants. And what Moses, or what God is doing through Moses, he's giving the Israelites confidence in saying, see, this land I had given them to Esau and the sons of Esau. This land I've given to Lot. And do you remember who was living in that land before? These guys were giants. They were vicious people. And God wiped them out so that they can take control of this land. And so the idea is God saying, see, this is what's going to happen for you too. So don't be afraid of the people that you're going to inhabit. They may look like giants. In fact, they were giants, and they were part of the Anakim and the Rephaim, and you know these were these huge warrior people. But remember, a generation before, God took care of those people and set the sons of Lot and set the sons of Esau in this place. And so it's God's way of saying, listen, don't worry about it, okay? God said, I'm going to take care of you guys just like I took care of these people. And these were vicious warrior people, but even the sons of Esau and the sons of Lot have taken over this land. So just pass through the land. Don't cause any trouble with them. Just make sure that you buy the food, you buy the water. Don't do anything else because that land belongs to so and so, right? And so it's quite important that they get this idea and really kind of this idea of history, and that's really I'm going to talk probably when we get to chapter 4 a little bit more. About what renewing covenant means, and I'll go through kind of the process of that. But one of the first things, there's basically six main points through Joshua and Shechem, through Ezra, that when we talk about covenant, there's six main points. The first main point is remember what God has done. It always comes back over and over again. Remember what God has done. God, remember, set you from Egypt. God brought you out of slavery. It's constant reminder. This is what the Lord has done, because the past really is a good indication of what you can expect in the future. So what God has done in the past is a pretty good idea of what He's going to do in the future. You know, we just finished our EG retreat, Experiencing God Discipleship Class retreat, and one of the assignments that people do during this class is I have them write out their spiritual markers. And basically, these are kind of testimonies or major sign points. You know, a marker is a sign. These are major sign points where they see how God has worked in their life. And the whole point is not only to see God's faithfulness, but really begin to see God's specific autograph. His specific dealings with individuals and how they and how God directs and guides their life. Blackaby, the guy who writes EG, he writes in there and he talks about that he was given an assignment from his denomination to be basically the director of spiritual renewal and revival in the Southern Baptist Convention. And so, and as he was praying about that, he went back to his spiritual markers, and he began to notice that revival, renewal, spiritual awakening had been a part of his whole life. In fact, been a part of his grandparents. You know, his grandparents were really involved in previous revivals of Moody and other people, and then his parents, and then even his own life. And so, by the time he got to this assignment, it was a no-brainer. Because he had seen the spiritual markers in his life of how God had spoken to him, how God had used him and his family, and how God had guided him. And so when he got to the point, oh yeah, spiritual renewal, awakening, yeah, that's like right up my alley. But it was part of his spiritual marker. But it was a nod to the past that really dictates, or not dictates, but shows us, gives us guidance into the present and our future. And that's what he's doing here. He's giving a nod to the past and saying, see how those giants, they were destroyed? Don't worry. God's, you know, the same thing is going to be for you, you know, in this regard. Now, this is my main point that I want to discuss a little bit today. So in the early part of this, in verse 7, look what he says. He said, for the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing. This is a great, great word. So he's telling these guys that Esau, by food and by drink and blah, blah, blah. If you remember going back to the passage, Esau, the king, they were not very interested in doing that, but the people actually were very kind. And so they sold food and they sold water, which was very common during this time for these people. Now, you have to recognize that the Israelites, they didn't just eat manna all the time or quail. They had other food. And generally, when they passed through and they bought food from others, they were able to eat a variety of food while in their wilderness journey. But think about this. He says here that you guys have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, that doesn't sound like a very blessed time. I don't know about you, but I mean, I don't want to wander in the wilderness for, 40 days, let alone 40 years. And he says, and he's talking about that whole journey, and he's saying, listen, God has blessed you. You've never lacked for anything, even in the wilderness. And I think sometimes we can get so caught up in the circumstances of what's going on that we don't see God's blessing through it all. There was a period when I was in university, and my parents, they basically went through a very difficult season financially. And I mean, long story, I ought to keep it really short. China signed up for WTO. This is way back in the 90s. And they became a trading partner to the U.S. And as a result, my parents were in the furniture manufacturing business, and the business in California died almost overnight because all the work went to China. And that's when all the manufacturing, all those things begin to happen. So that was going on, and so my parents basically lost everything. So I don't want to use the word drop out, but I had to take a leave of absence from school. And so I came back and started a business and was basically supporting our family for about 3 years. And in the midst of that time, we didn't have much money. It was quite an experience for us as a family. But you know what? We never lacked anything, and I look back at those times with incredible fondness. We didn't have a lot of money coming in, but in those 3 years, like, no one in my family got sick. We didn't get into any car accidents. Things that you typically, expenses that usually incur during these times, none of that happened. We had no insurance, no sense of security financially in any way. But as I remember one time, I think the pastor was speaking on something similar to this, and I just kept thinking about, in these 3 years, didn't get one traffic ticket, not even a parking ticket, didn't get in any accidents. And, by the way, we didn't even have car insurance back in those days, which back then wasn't illegal. It's illegal now. But, no insurance of any kind, and no one got sick. I used to break two bones a year at minimum, growing up. And so, that was amazing. No hospital visits. My mom, who's so sickly, she didn't have any major health issues, nothing for all these. And it was kind of like God put us in kind of this bubble in a sense. And even though not a lot of money was coming in, no money was going out. And I realized, this is really the blessing of God. And he tells the Israelites in that same way, he says, you are blessed. Yeah, you're wandering in the wilderness. That's your fault anyway. I'll give you another nod. The other part of covenant renewal is a dire warning that if you obey God, blessing comes. If you disobey God, punishment is going to come. That's part of the renewal. I'll get into that in chapter 4. But it's amazing how this works. It says you're blessed. Yes, you're wandering in the wilderness, but you're blessed. And he says, think about this. Have you ever lacked anything? Have you lacked anything as you're wandering in this wilderness? He says, see, you guys are blessed. And I think it's important that if you are in a wilderness experience, okay, here's what you do. This is real simple, okay? I'll give you a bonus mini sermonette, okay? If you're in the wilderness, figure out, number one, why you're in the wilderness. Like, in other words, is it because of your stubbornness, because of your sin, or could it be some other matters, you know, all in? So figure out why you're in the wilderness, first of all. In other words, figure out if there's something you need to repent of. You may be in the wilderness for something totally outside of your own doing. It might just be the deep, deep workings of God in a simple reality. Right? It just might be the deep workings of God. And so figure out why you're there, and then count your blessings in the wilderness. Because regardless of, you know, I mean, you repent and whatnot, that may take you out of the wilderness sooner than later or whatnot. But at the same time, God has a purpose for you in that place. And the reality is God wants to bless you. Count your blessings. Right? See exactly what God is doing in the midst of your wilderness experience. You know, I mean, I had to give up a couple years of school. So, I mean, I graduated a little bit later in life. You know, I wouldn't trade that experience for the world. I mean, I would not trade that experience for the world. And it's important that we recognize God's dealings and God's workings, you know, in our life. So let's close our eyes. Let me read this verse again. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings. Isn't that a blessing to know that he knows that we're in the wilderness? Through this great wilderness, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. Right? He's never left you, and you have not lacked a thing. Isn't that a great verse? You've not lacked a thing. And so if we're in this stage, let me encourage you to look up. Don't look at the dry desert around you. Look up. God's with you. He's blessing you. It's a different type of blessing than you think, but he is blessing you. Let's just meditate on that as we sing. Let's pray this morning. If you are in a wilderness experience, count your blessings. Count your blessings. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have. Focus your mind on things above, not things below. Things eternal, not those things that are temporary. Maybe you know someone that's going through a wilderness experience. And pray for them this morning. Well, let's lift our hearts and voices to God. Let's pray for our community that's battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community. They're battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So we pray for spiritual and physical healing. pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for God's incredible provision. Pray for our mission focus. Let's lift up Cambodia. Let's ask for God's blessing over Grace. She'll actually be back in town this weekend. Let's just cover her flight back to Hong Kong. Let's pray for Pastor Oh at V2R and their ministry, especially as he's rounding out his PhD. Let's pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Sophia. She's a little bit under the weather here and there. Let's just ask God's hand to be with her, especially as she encounters a lot of warfare around her. So let's lift up Cambodia and Japan to the Lord. Let's pray for the IP well in Cascade. Let's pray for our leaders that are serving in our frontline ministries. Let's pray for a real prophetic ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Pray for the ministry, the counselors, as they minister to people and bring them into freedom. Let's just cover them right now before the Lord. Let's pray for our education ministries. Let's lift up Noah's Ark, the youth group, and SPU. Let's pray for God's hand upon all of our students, all of our pastors and teachers, that the Lord would just really move upon each one of them in a powerful way. Let's pray. Let's pray for our outreaches going on tonight. Let's pray for SP Lights and pray for the homeless outreach. Let's pray for our volunteers that they would be strengthened and encouraged, and they would go with much favor and blessing, and that each person that they encounter tonight would just feel the presence of God around them. Let's just cover it. Let's pray for our Alpha retreat coming this Saturday, the one-day retreat here in the sanctuary here at church. Let's pray for all the volunteers and all the guests that they would come to Jesus. Pray for all the presentations and the communion time, the altar calls, the videos, the meal times, the discussions. Let's just ask that each person would come to Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. And lastly, let's cover our retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Benjamin. Let's pray for the messages that God would download to him. Pray for just all the logistics. We are out of hotel rooms now. And so I guess registration is officially closed. We have 571 people coming from three churches. And so let's just ask God's blessing on each one of those people that come, that God would just really bring his presence. There'll be a real sense of unity, and Holy Spirit will really lead. Usually leading up to the retreat, people end up getting sick. Let's just pray against any sickness from any of the kids or any of the parents or people that are coming from all over the place. And even work schedules would open up. Let's just really pray for God's hand to be with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that there is great blessing, Lord, as we just simply walk with you. God, even in our down times, God, when we feel like we're in the wilderness, Lord, you are still there. You never leave us, God, and you're always blessing us, making sure that we will lack nothing. And so help us, God. We thank you for covenant, Lord. God, even with Esau and Lot, God, Lord, they weren't the most faithful people, but Lord, you promised them something. Lord God, and you are always true to your promise. And so, Lord, we can rest assured, God, that when you speak into our lives, God, that it's a done deal. And so we will wait, God, until your promises come to fruition. God, we thank you, Lord. Watch over us, Lord. Help us to glorify Jesus in all that we do and say today. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.